Well, good morning, Sandos Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Everybody's good? Now, you all see the name of the series we're in. We have entitled it House Party. How many of you have ever been to a quiet house party before? Okay, one person, okay. It's probably one of the weird ones where you put on the headphones and everybody's kind of listening to their own music. That's just weird to me. We got to go back to the old school house parties where there's one DJ, everybody's listening to the same music, everybody's having a good time. That's what we plan on doing in this series. So can we real loudly make some noise for Jesus in this place? Now, that sounds way more like a house party than quietness. We're going to be in this series for the next 2 weeks, and today I want to talk to you from the topic room for more. How many of you desire to make room for more? How many of you believe that Jesus has more for you than what you're currently seeing and experiencing right now? I believe that. If you got your Bibles, go with me to Mark chapter 2. If you don't know where Mark is in the New Testament. If your pages are stuck together and you can't find it, just act like you're there and just read on the monitor and, you know, just act like you're in Mark and nobody will tell the difference because you'll be reading along with us. Mark chapter 2. It's so good to be back with you, Sandos Church. Me and my wife, Jen, we love Pastor Matt, Tammy. We consider you all family and it's good to be back in Riverside today. So we're going to have a good time. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. When you're there, say there. You can't find it, say, Lord, help me. We're going to keep on moving. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. It says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, go home." He got up, took his mat, walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone. They praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." How many of you desire to say that at least once in your life, "I've never seen anything like this before"? How many of you desire to come in church and leave and say, "I've never encountered Jesus like that before. I have not experienced this"? It's a pretty bland relationship when you say the same thing every day, you see the same thing every day. Can you imagine for a moment your spouse says the exact same thing every single day, the exact same way? That'd be a pretty bland relationship. How many of you would agree? So it's my desire to see and experience Jesus in ways that I've never seen and experienced him before every single day. And so we're going to talk today about room for more. We're going to pray, then we're going to hop right into it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. You're so good to us, Lord. We thank you for being with us today. We ask God that no one would leave the same way that they came, but that we would all leave changed because we've had an encounter with you. In Jesus' name, amen. How many people like going to the movies in here? Any movie fans? Any movie buffs? I'm talking about like legit movie buffs. When it comes out, you got to see it the night that it comes out. Me and my wife, we had our son, Max, about 19 months ago, and all that kind of changed for me. We were big movie fans, especially when it comes to Marvel. Marvel movies, they've got something special going on. How many of you can agree? But we would like to go to the Marvel movies, and on a particular movie, they launch them on Thursday nights. Thursday nights around 11 o'clock, you can catch out a Marvel movie. And there's been a couple that have come out. The last one that me and my wife had the privilege of seeing was The Avengers. We got a babysitter. We put Max with the babysitter and said, hey, we're going on a nice date tonight. You know what I'm saying? We're going to do something spontaneous, something special. Let's go see The Avengers Infinity War. The good thing about Marvel, though, they do something very unique. See, they let the movie play out, and then the credits come up, and then people that have never been to a Marvel movie before, you know who they are, because they start to get up and leave when the credits start rolling. How many know what I'm talking about? You know. And you may be with someone, it's their first time going to a Marvel movie, and they start getting their trash, and they get up, and you're like, no, 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 stay seated. And they're like, wow, the movie's over. You're like, no, it's not. Trust me, it's not over. There's more. Trust me, there's more. They're like, but the credits are rolling. You're like, listen, shut up, sit down. There's more that you just need to stay seated and check this out. And they're like, listen, but the music is fading. You're like, listen, just relax. And before you know it, you look around the theater and a bunch of people have left, but you stayed because you understand that there's more. And the credits roll, the music cuts off, and then all of a sudden, the lights dim back down. And you look down, you're like, I told you so. I told you. I told you. And then a snippet of what is coming next starts to play. And there's always more after the movie finishes. And I believe in our lives, God is a lot like that. When we stay patient, when we stay faithful, when we stay diligent, we may think this thing is coming to an end. We may think that things are not gonna work out the way that he intended for them to work out, but he says, listen, just stay where you are. There's more. It's our job to make room for the more that Jesus desires to show us. And that's what I believe is going on in scripture right here. These friends understand that even though it's packed, even though that this house is at maximum capacity, I believe that there is room for more. And so they do something that's crazy. They tear a hole in a roof. And if you're like me, I'm like, man, whose home did they tear a hole in the roof of? And so I did a little digging, and I found out that theologians believe that this is the house of Peter. Now, if you know anything about Peter, you know Peter is crazy. You know Peter cut the ear off of someone, and Jesus had to pick the ear back up and stick it back on the man's head. You know, Peter would cuss you out in a heartbeat. You know, Peter don't got all of his marbles together. You know, Peter is out there a little bit. Come on. And these four men, they must don't know whose house they're tearing up. It's not a good house party until something gets broken. How many can agree? It's not a good house party until something gets tore up. They literally raised the roof of Peter's house. They tear a hole in Peter's roof, but the Bible never says anything about Peter's response. How many of you know, if this is my house and someone tears a hole in my roof, the Bible is gonna say what I said. I work hard for my house. I pay good money for my house. And then four people I don't know tears a hole in my roof, the Bible is going to say what I said. The Bible makes no mention of what Peter says. But the Bible does say that they lowered this man in front of Jesus. Now think about this. The nerve of these guys, they could have put a hole at any point in the roof of the house. They could have lowered him in the kitchen. They could have lowered him in the bedroom on the second level. But no, they tore a hole and they lowered him in the living room right in front of Jesus. And Jesus looks at them and says, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, you're like me, you're thinking, okay, what does it have to do with anything that this man is actually dealing with? His friends press their way, they climb on top of this house. They tore a hole in the roof, not because this man was dealing with sin, but because he was paralyzed. And Jesus looks at his faith and he says, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, if I'm dealing with something, I'm in pain, I haven't been able to do what it is that I desire to do for some years, and Pastor Matt Brown tells me, son, your sins are forgiven, me and him go have some words. I didn't come for you to tell me, hey, my sins, I came so that you could heal me. I was lowered through the roof of this house on a yoga mat so that I could use my limbs the way I'm supposed to use my limbs. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Jesus looks at him and says, son, your sins are forgiven. And you can imagine that that caused quite a lot of confusion in the man that he forgave and in the room packed out with people, because they see this man that's been paralyzed. They see this man that's been stricken to this mat. They see this man that has not been able to utilize his limbs as long as he has been alive. But yet and still, Jesus says to him, son, your sins are forgiven. And if you know anything about Jesus, you know sometimes Jesus does not do what you want him to do. He does what he wants to do. Amen. And this is why, on your bulletin, number one, only a Savior can forgive sins. Only a Savior can forgive sins. In verse 5, it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. See, this is what Jesus knew. Jesus understood that when this man has an encounter with the one that can forgive sins, his life will change. Jesus always desires to change us from the inside out. He understood, if I told this man first that he's healed and he can get up and he can walk, then he would still walk out with the sins that he came in with. He understood that healing him was a one-time event, but when he forgives him of his sins, when he forgave us of our sins, when he forgives us of our sins, he understands that carries on until eternity. Only a Savior can forgive sins. See, Jesus is not into doing just the possible things. He's into doing the impossible things. See, the Word of God teaches us with man, there are things that are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. How many of you are grateful that we serve a Savior that forgives sins? And I'm not talking about the sins that everybody knows about. I'm not talking about those sins. See, we got three sides of us. We have the public side of us. That's the side that people selfie and put on Instagram. That's the side that people Instagram live and they Facebook. That's the side that everybody knows. That's the side where you're in the grocery store and they know you by name. And then you have the private side of you. That's the side your family knows. That's the side that you keep private behind closed doors, where only the close, intimate people know who you are. And then there's the secret side of you. That's the side that no one knows but you. That's the side that you're paralyzed in. That's the side that has kept you on your mat. That's the side that you need to expose to Jesus. That's the side that you have not revealed to anyone but you. Have you ever sinned so bad you surprised yourself? Like, whoa, where did that come from? I didn't even know that was possible. How many of you ever been there before? You surprised yourself, like, whoa, what in the world? I did not mean to say that. I didn't mean to do that. Sometimes sin surprises you. It's so bad. But there is nothing that surprises Jesus. Amen. Only a Savior can forgive your sins. On your bulletin beside that, I want you to jot this down. The presence of Jesus does not remove our humanity. It exposes it. And we're exposed to him. The thing I love about Sandals Church is it doesn't call you to be perfect in order to be a part of this community. It just calls you to be real. See, this is a place for real people. Pastor Matt understands that when you come with your issues and you expose them to a real Savior, he allows you to see how you can grow to be more like him. See, we grow towards what we're exposed to. When I was in school, in middle school, we had a little project where our teacher gave us some flower seeds and told us that we should plant these flower seeds. But what was really weird, she put them in a piece of paper towel first, and then she wet the paper towel, and she said, don't take them out of the paper towel until you start to see the roots break through the seeds. I just thought that was weird. I was like, how can a seed grow in paper towel? But to my surprise, it started to grow inside of this paper towel. I then took that seed where the roots start to crack out of that seed and planted it in the dirt. I took that pot, I put it in my room, and every single day I would check it. Every single day I would go in my room and I would lift up the dirt, I would check the seed to see if there was any movement. I'll cover it back up, I'll water it, I'll come back the next day, lift up the dirt. Nothing's happening. What is going on with this seat? And then finally, after a week, my mom comes in. She sees me kind of lifting up the dirt. She was like, what are you doing? I said, I'm looking to see if my seed is turning into a flower. She said, it will never grow as long as you keep lifting the dirt. You have to put it into the sun. You have to give it exposure to the sun, because when you expose it to the sun, it grows. And we're no different. When we expose our lives to the sun, we grow towards the sun. When we expose our sins to the sun, God allows us to be forgiven and we begin to grow. But the enemy desires for us to keep those things secret and hidden and in the dark, because it spreads that way. Mold spreads in the dark. Bad things spread in the dark. There's nothing good that spreads in the dark. When you expose it to the sun, however, it helps it to be killed. And when we expose our lives to the sun, the S-O-N, it allows our lives to reflect him. Only a savior can forgive sins. Number two on your bulletin, you cannot deal with the fruit of the issue if you don't deal with the root of the issue. You cannot deal with the fruit of the issue if you don't deal with the root of the issue. In verse 9, it says, which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take up your mat, and walk? See, Jesus wants us to have a true encounter with him. You know, you've had a true encounter with Jesus when you enter into his presence one way and you leave a different way. That's an encounter. You ever met someone that you admired from afar, and they were completely different than what you thought? Now we stay in movie land here in California. And sometimes you run into people that you see on movies, and sometimes you run into entertainers, and you have your perception of how you think they act, and then you meet them and it's like, that is totally different than what I thought. Completely different. These people are jerks. I never want to meet them ever again. Oh my gosh, they are definitely actors because they act like they're nice. How many know what I'm talking about? Like, that encounter changed your life. But Jesus says, every time you have an encounter with me, it gets better, it gets greater, it gets sweeter, because I am what you need and so much more. You can't encounter Jesus and leave his presence the same way that you entered into it. He says, every time you leave, you'll leave changed. I'm so glad that Jesus has the ability and the power to uproot everything that does not reflect and look like him and replace it with more of his presence. It makes no sense for me to deal with the fruit if I don't have the courage to deal with the root. And this is what I believe. I believe in our society and in our culture, we've created a mentality of people who run away from the hard things because they don't like the discomfort. They don't like the pressure. They don't like being put under pressure. And so rather than to deal with it, we just walk away from it. But rather than to deal with the issues in our marriage, we just walk away from it. Rather than to deal with our kids, we just walk away from it. But if you're going to experience the life you're supposed to, you have to deal with the root of the issue so that you can start to see the fruit of it change. I remember at one point, I had some weeds in my bushes in the front of my house. And every single time I walked outside, I would see these weeds. So finally, I just reached down and I just jerked them out, threw them in the garbage. The next week came and I saw the weeds right back again. I was like, what the heck? I just pulled these weeds, out of the bushes, and they're back. And the reality was, I didn't uproot them from the roots. I just grabbed what I saw. And every single time I just grabbed what I saw, they grew back. But the moment that I dug into the ground and I uprooted those weeds, they didn't come back. In our life, it's the same way. The moment that we dig deep, the moment that we go beneath the surface, the moment that we stop acting like we have all our stuff together and we allow God to extract those roots in us that don't reflect Him, is the moment that our lives begin to change. But we have to understand we cannot deal with the fruit of the issue if we're not dealing with the root of the issue. Jesus says in verse 9, it's easier for me to say to this man, get up and walk, than it is to say your sins are forgiven. He was saying, listen, that there are many people out there that may experience healing, but I'm the only one that can bring salvation. I'm the only one that can provide forgiveness. I'm the only one that can provide everlasting life. And so you have to believe that I am capable. You have to believe that I'm able. You have to believe that I'm willing to do these things by the root. See, this is what I've come to learn. A lot of us say we believe in Jesus, but we trust in ourselves. How many of you have ever manufactured your own blessing before? Come on, let's be real. You got tired of waiting. You got tired of being patient. You got tired of doing what it was you was doing for a long time. He was like, I'm just going to make it happen on my own. I'm not going to wait on God. I'm going to manufacture my own blessing. How many of you ever been there before? And what you do, you try to bring that person to church and pray, God, save them for me. I know he's not the right one, but if you'd just save him for me, Lord, I would be grateful. I know she's not the right one, Lord, but if she could just get saved today, then I believe that you can change her life. And Jesus is like, that ain't who I chose for you. And you're trying to manufacture this thing, trying to make it work. We got to move out of the way of what Jesus desires to do in our lives and let him do the work. We got to stop manufacturing miracles and allow him to do the thing that he desires to do in our life, which brings me to the third point. Number three, are you willing to do what is difficult to see the unthinkable? Are you willing to do the difficult to see the unthinkable? How many people lift weights in here? How many people wish you lift weights in here? Way more hands with that, right? But every year we start off our year saying, you know what? I'm gonna get in the gym, I'm gonna get my buff on, I'm gonna get my swole on, I'm gonna cut like 30 pounds, and I'm gonna buck up like 50. How many guys know what I'm talking about? You know, you got in your mind what your body should look like. Ladies, you got in your mind what your body should look like. January rolls around, start eating clean, start eating right, start running. Whew. When the run gets long, you start talking to yourself in third person like, woo. We getting tired. We go pass out. And you start slowing down. February rolls around, you stop running, but you're still eating right. March comes around, you're like, to heck with all that other stuff, man. I'm just gonna settle for what I got. God gave me this body. And if God made me like this, who am I to want to change? What God has made. He says he makes all things perfect. I might not have the six pack, but thank God for the keg. Amen. But you start looking at people and you're like, man, I wish my body looked like theirs. Where are my muscles? Are my calf muscles? Where is my muscles on top of muscles? You ever seen somebody, they just got neck on top of neck? I saw a guy walking in church today as I was waiting for my wife out back, and his shirt was just wrapped around his bicep. He had on a schmedium. I'm telling you, it was not even, it won't even the right size. His arm was just taking up all of the sleeve. And I thought to myself, why don't my sleeve look like that? I still got room in my sleeve. But he's doing something different than what I'm doing. He's working his muscles differently than I'm working my muscles. See, no one in this room is born with more muscles than the next person. Did you know that? Did that just blow your mind? See that muscle-bound person sitting in front of you? You can't even see me because their neck is so big. They don't have more muscles than you have. Guess what? They just work theirs differently than you do. The Bible teaches us also that each man, each woman is given the same measure of faith. So no one has more faith than you. Guess what? They're seeing what they're seeing because they work their faith differently than you. That they're doing the difficult things so that they can see the unthinkable. In order for you to see the unthinkable, in order for you to have your mind blown, in order for you to see Jesus the way he desires for you to see him, you gotta do the difficult things. And when you do the difficult things, it makes room for Jesus to show up in your life like you never thought was possible. You understand how difficult it was for these friends to carry this man on top of this roof. How diligent they had to be in tearing a hole in a stranger's roof and lowering this man on a flimsy mat in front of Jesus. That they could have given up when they saw how crowded this house was. They could have gave up when they saw the line wrapped around. But they said, no, we believe that Jesus has something in store for you. We believe that you're going to receive what it is you've been believing for. We believe that your life is going to change. And sometimes you just got to have that mentality. I know I'm tired. I know church is going to be packed today. I know it's going to be hot outside. But I believe that Jesus is going to change my life today. I'm willing to do what is difficult to see the unthinkable. In verse 4, it says, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through and then lowered that mat that the man was lying on. See, this is what I believe. I believe that God always hides something you need in something that you don't want to do. God always hides something you need and something you don't want to do. Whose roof do you need to tear open so that people can experience Jesus? What roofs do you need to remove from your life so that you can experience Jesus the way that he desires for you to experience him? See, the reality is all of us are paralyzed at some point in our life. All of us are stuck on a mat at some point in our life. All of us are crippled at some point in our life, whether it be our marriage, whether it be our relationships, whether it be our children, whether it be our jobs, there's some area in our life that has us stuck on a mat. But thank God we serve a Savior that not only has the ability to heal us where we are, he's able and he's willing. And Jesus looks at these four friends and he sees this man's faith. He says, son, your sins are forgiven. But the thing that I love, point number 4, is togetherness takes us where we cannot go alone. That there was no way that this paralyzed man on the mat could have gotten at the feet of Jesus if it had not been for his friends. Togetherness takes us where we cannot go alone. It's one thing to move fast by yourself. It means something completely different, though, to move forward together. See, Sandals Church is created. It's here so that we can move forward together, so that we can make room for people who need to experience Jesus, so that we can continue to remove boundaries and tear roofs off and lift ceilings so that people can encounter Jesus the way that they need to encounter Jesus. There are people that come in here week after week stuck on their mat, but because their friends bought them, they leave healed and they leave saved. Because together, we can do more than we could ever do alone. Jesus saw these four friends drop this man in front of him on a yoga mat, a lot like this one. And he says, listen, because of your faith, your sins are forgiven. This man, he's stuck on his mat, and Jesus begins to scan the room, and he begins to hear the grumblings in the hearts and in the minds of religious people. And he says to them, don't think that. You don't have to think that way. What do you think is easier for me to say to this man, get up and walk, but that your sins are forgiven. And he tells the man, your sins are forgiven, and the icing on top, because of your faith, you're now healed. Take your mat. Walk out of this place. Go home. And it would have been great for Jesus to say to the man, listen, you're healed. You can leave now. But Jesus said, listen, not only are you healed, but I want you to take your mat. And I just think that's so bizarre that Jesus would tell him to take his mat. And this is what I believe. I believe that Jesus told him to take his mat because there would come a point in his life where he forgets what Jesus had done for him. But the mat served as a reminder that Jesus has healed me. Jesus has delivered me. Jesus has brought me out of some things. And when I get into the next season where there's tests and where there's trials, I can look back at this mat and say that God was faithful then, and he'll be faithful now, and he'll be faithful forevermore. Is there anyone grateful that Jesus not only saved you, but he has the ability to heal you every single time you need to be healed? The second reason I believe that Jesus told him to take his mat was so that other people could see what Jesus had done. See, that there were people who saw this man for years laying on this mat. And when they saw him walking through town with it on his back, they said, wasn't he dealing with something that had him constricted to that mat? Now he's walking with it. What happened? And with a smile on his face, he said, I encountered a man who changed my life. His name is Jesus. And this is the great thing about the test. This is a great thing about the trial. This is a great thing about what you're going through. Jesus doesn't just want to bring you out so that you can know he's brought you out. He wants to bring you out so that when other people see you out of what it is that you've been going through, they can have their faith built as well to say, if Jesus did it for them, surely he can do it for me as well. But the thing that you have to remember, the only way out is to go through. The only way out is to go through. You're never meant to stay in the thing that you're in. You're never meant to stay on the mat that you may have come in here with. The only way out is to go through. Caterpillars, they go through a process called metamorphosis. And if you know anything about caterpillars, they begin to deshell themselves with enzymes, and then they go into this cocoon process. But in order for them to come out as a beautiful butterfly that everyone loves, they have to stay in the cocoon and go through the full process of metamorphosis. But in order for that butterfly to come out, that caterpillar has to go through. And this is what I truly believe. In order for you to come out the way God intends for you to come out, you got to go through what it is that you're in right now. The good news, however, is that in what it is that you're in right now, Jesus is with you. His word says that I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. I'll be with you until the very end of all time. So I know it's difficult. I know it's uncomfortable. I know you think, man, this one might take me out, but it won't. You're going through the process and you're getting stronger, you're getting better, you're getting wiser, and you're gonna come out of it better than how you went into it. But the only way out is to what? Go through. This paralyzed man would have never come out healed. He would never come out with his sins forgiven if he never went through the roof. He would have never come out if he never went through. The only way that you're going to come out of the test and the trial and the pressure that you're in right now is to continue to go through. In the Old Testament, it says, yea, though we walk through the valley, the shadow of death, you're not going to stay where you are. You're going to go through. How many of you are grateful that in the midst of whatever it is you're in, Jesus is there with you? See, there are some battles that Jesus fights for you, but then there are also some battles that Jesus fights through you. And in the middle of this battle, in the middle of this struggle, Jesus is there with you, and you're gonna come out of it because you went through it. Stand to your feet, let me pray with you. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. If you're in here today and you're saying to yourself, I came in here paralyzed in some areas. I came in here on a mat. People may have not have seen the mat that I came in here on. My family may not know the mat that I've been on for years and years and years, but today I want to leave healed. I want to leave with my mat in my hand. If that's you, I just want you to slip your hand up right now. Just slip it up. I see all those hands. This is the great thing about Jesus. Jesus is not only able, but he's willing. So we're going to pray, and we're going to ask Jesus to forgive us. We're going to ask Jesus to heal us. I want you to repeat this after me. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to be in front of you. I come with my mat, and I come with the expectation that you have the ability to heal me right where I am. So I ask for forgiveness, and I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that you are the risen Savior. And because you are risen, I can rise again. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for healing me. In Jesus' name, amen.